Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
So maybe journalism can actually matter. On Tuesday, WNYC's Ilya Marritz was here with his investigative report on a controversial kind of natural gas drilling that Governor Patterson seemed ready to approve for New York State. The controversy revolves around possible drinking water contamination, and some of the drilling was going to take place near some of the New York City water supply reservoirs in the Catskills. That drilling procedure, known as hydraulic fracturing or fracking, had not gotten much publicity before. Well, now, just 2 days after the report aired, the governor is backing off the approval and ordering a fuller environmental review. Ilya is back with us, along with WNYC political director Andrea Bernstein, who keeps her eye on state government. Ilya, what happened between Tuesday and now?
Well, the governor decided that a full environmental review of what hydraulic fracturing would mean was in order. And this is a pretty stunning reversal for his department. A week before, environmental activists were telling me that they'd been meeting with the Department of Environmental Conservation, saying, hey, you need to take a holistic look at this. This procedure is substantially different. It poses a threat to drinking water. And the DEC said, no, we have all the right regulations already in place. We don't need anything additional. Governor Patterson reversed that completely yesterday when he made this order.
Now, this order, what we discussed Tuesday was that the governor had until yesterday, Wednesday, to either sign or veto a bill to let the fracking go forward because the legislature had passed it. So did he veto the bill?
He signed the bill. This is what's really interesting. He sort of hit the accelerator the same time he was hitting the brakes. And what we're going to be looking for in the months ahead is whether the cumulative effect is to speed up the process or to slow it down. Essentially, when he signed this spacing bill, what he was doing was he was simplifying the application process. When you want to drill in this formation, the Marcellus Shale, and use hydraulic fracturing, it's now a streamlined process, just like for other more conventional gas wells. But again, at the same time, the exact same day and in the same press release that he made yesterday, he said, we're also ordering a full environmental review. So it remains to be seen whether that speeds things up or slows them down and whether any drilling can go ahead during the review process.
So, Andrea, what would a full environmental review entail?
Well, this is a process known as an environmental impact statement. And any big development project or project that could disturb the environment usually requires an environmental impact statement. For example, big development, the Atlantic Yards, the proposed West Side Stadium, all of these things required a long and big look at the environmental impact. And these things are usually, they take a long time, they require public hearings, and a lot of study. Now, this doesn't mean that it's never happened in the history of state or city government that an EIS has been written in a way to minimize the environmental impacts. But the last time this process of gas drilling in New York was studied was 2 decades ago, or not quite 2 decades ago, maybe, 15 years ago, but it was looking at a process that wasn't the same as this one, which, you know, as Ilya can describe, involves lots of water and a big high-impact blast to open up these wells with chemical additives that, as a result of the 2005 Energy Act, companies can claim as proprietary information so they don't have to disclose. So one of the things that began to happen after Ilya's story came out, and if people want to go to the web and hear this story, they can hear Ilya asking, are you going to require disclosure of these additives? And they said, well, we don't know. It would be a departure. Already on Wednesday, the governor's top environmental advisor, the deputy secretary for the environment, was telling us we will require disclosure. And yesterday, the governor put his seal on that and went even further. And just reading from the press release, he said that the review will look at impacts to groundwater, surface water, wetlands, air quality, aesthetics, noise, traffic, and community character, as well as cumulative impacts. And they also said that they were going to look at some of the other things that the report raised, for example, enforcement, the number of staff that is available. They said the DEC is reviewing a variety of other areas, including staff resources, existing regulations, jurisdiction over water withdrawals, permit application fees, and procedures.
Now, what's amazing to me about that is that that wouldn't happen as a matter of course, that if we're talking about something like, you know, a massive new amount of drilling for natural gas in a wide swath of New York State from the Catskills up to, I guess, around the Syracuse area is where this Marcellus Shale formation runs, and with a new kind of drilling technique for New York, that a full environmental impact statement wouldn't be done just as a matter of course. Doesn't the law already require something like that?
Well, they were arguing that the existing environmental impact statement was sufficient. And Ilya, maybe you want to jump in there and say, you know, a little bit more about what they said about that.
Yeah, I mean, I had a look at that EIS, and it is extremely detailed. That was a process that went through several drafts, which where the public had some input, I think, although I think the industry was much more involved, as you might expect. The DEC, the agency, was essentially saying, look, we looked at this pretty exhaustively. The main difference here is the volume of water. And that, frankly, and that they felt that that was something that could be dealt with within the mm-hmm. scope of the 1992 review.
And the disclosure.
That's
Andrea raised the issue of disclosure. And we talked about this on Tuesday. The companies said it was proprietary information. They didn't want their competitors to know what chemicals are actually used. And since the fear is chemical contamination of the drinking water, it sounds like the DEC has now taken the step to require more of the chemical nature of this process to be disclosed to the public. Is that correct?
Well, I'm going to keep watching this because it's not as simple as, you know, what are you going to take to lunch today? This is, you know, what chemicals are you going to use in that pit? The drillers might not know when they start drilling precisely what's going to be needed. I was talking with Tom West, an industry lobbyist and lawyer, yesterday, and he said this to me himself. You know, we might go in thinking we need chemicals A, B, and C, and we might find out that we need D, E, and F as well to get the gas out. So it's going to be interesting to see precisely what the language is that the state settles on when it makes this disclosure requirement.
We have WNYC's Ilya Meritz with us and WNYC political director Andrea Bernstein as we talk about the reversal by the state of New York on allowing a quick approval to go forward for this new kind of drilling for natural gas in a wide swath of New York State. As we said, Ilya's investigative report done with the investigative journalism group ProPublica just aired here Tuesday morning, and suddenly, poof, the DEC has changed course. And Andrea, you've done a lot of investigative reporting in your career. Is this an example of how journalism matters? And can we say with any certainty that this investigative report changed the course of action by the government of New York State?
Well, it's very hard to report on causality because it's very rare that any top government official will say, oh, your report made us shift course. However, we do know the timing. We do know as recently as late Monday night, several of these questions about disclosure, about water treatment, and about the environmental impact statement were still unanswered. By Wednesday, they began to tell us, their top environmental officials began to tell us that there was going to be a requirement for disclosure, that they were thinking about a full environmental review. And then yesterday, this press release with this very strong language came out. Now, it may be, people may be wondering, you know, how could this happen? This is the same department. How could there be this 180-degree reversal? And, you know, just to put it in context, the Department of Environmental Conservation is a very big regulatory agency in New York. Under Governor Pataki, Governor Pataki was an environmentalist, but his deepest passion was for conservation, land acquisition, preserving wide swaths of the Adirondacks, sort of nature conservancy environmentalism. He was less happy to stress enforcement. And although he did get behind things, for example, trying to get General Electric to clean up the Hudson River, enforcement of sort of environmental regulations by corporations was never his highest priority. And this is an agency that was structured, you know, and a lot of the people that are there had been operating under that mindset. So it's a big, you know, ocean liner to shift.
You mean when Spitzer came in, these environmental officials didn't change with the new governor, new party, after 12 years of Pataki and the Republicans?
The top ones absolutely did. And, for example, his deputy secretary for the environment, Judith Enck, had worked at NYPERG for many years as an environmental activist. And, in fact, you know, at one point in history was very much involved in herself in trying to get the DEC to take a more activist view towards enforcement issues. And there were a lot of people that were working in the environmental issues. She's now the deputy secretary for the environment. The secretary in the governor's office is sort of like the chief of staff. So she's a cabinet-level official, former environmental activist. And there are a number of people from the Sierra Club, people from the American Lung Association, all over the Pataki administration that are deeply, deeply concerned about the environment. But, you know, these are a certain a number of officials, and it takes a long time to shift the whole orientation of an agency. And if you think about what was happening in New York this spring, the entire government of New York disassembled and then reassembled just at the very moment the gas companies were gearing up to try to get this legislation through.
Tell me one last thing, and then we're going to go on to another chief executive changing course, this time President Bush, who decided to sign rather than veto the big housing bill. So this is going to mean help for people in this area who are facing foreclosure, who may not have gotten it before, and about a million other things in this bill. And I'm going to try to break it down for you. Possibly new rental housing to be constructed with federal dollars, just all kinds of stuff now in this bill that President Bush has reversed course and said that he will sign. And we'll do that in just a minute. But do you, Andrea, know anything about the companies involved that wanted these drilling rights and their campaign finance records? Are they donating to members of the Assembly and the Senate who approved this, or somehow to Governor Patterson's administration? Did you get a chance to look at that at all?
We have not been looking at that. As Ilya mentioned, we will be keeping an eye on this process. I mean, I just wanted to say one last thought on this, which is that, you know, Eliot Spitzer was known as an environmental activist. David Patterson was known as someone who cared about the environment, who'd worked on areas of, for example, environmental racism, but the environment may not have been his top priority. And what's interesting to me about the press release and the action yesterday is it looks like the environmental forces in his administration are exerting some significant influence, and we'll have to watch to see how that plays out in the coming months.
I might have a little bit of an answer to that question. I don't know, because we haven't looked yet into you know, any kind of campaign donations or anything that the industry might have made. But this bill, to reiterate, was coming out of the Department of Environmental Conservation. So when legislators see that, legislators who haven't really reviewed the bill, they
see
that.
It's like a stamp of approval
in
and of
itself. Right. It's like the good housekeeping seal of approval.
Yeah.
Exactly. So the legislators who I spoke with who voted against it were in a small minority. They were ones who, like, somehow kind of picked up, you know, they actually read the thing on the last day of session, and they said, hey, wait, what is this, and is this going to speed things up? So I'm not sure that the industry would have had to make those kind of contributions to curry political favor.
All right. WNYC's Ilya Meritz, good job bringing this into public view, along with your partners at the investigative journalism group ProPublica, and WNYC Andrea Bernstein, political director Andrea Bernstein. We will be recording our little podcast, Digesting Politics, later today on the presidential race. So people can sign up for that at WNYC.org. See you later.
See you later.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. We'll talk about that housing bill and what it means for New York and New Jersey coming up.